with regards to change that people put in a pushka, we spoke about the importance of calculating how much a person should give as their tithe and being careful to have savings. I just want to mention a different side to this coin. The Medrash says, what's this similar to? There was a guy who, the king was very upset at him, and he scheduled him a day to appear before him, and the king would decide his fate. So the man who had earlier been an aristocrat, the man wanted friends to help him and speak on his behalf, to come with him on judgment day. The king should see he's really a faithful member. So he goes to his friends, and he starts speaking to them one by one, and he says, can you come with me? And this one says, I'm scared. And that one says, yeah, I'll come. And the next one says, yeah, okay, I'll come with you. And he has it all set up. Comes judgment day. He shows up to the king's palace. He gets to the front gate, and there are all these guards standing there. And three of his friends say, you know, I'm so happy I was able to come with you this far. I wish I could go further. They slip away. They're scared if the king is upset at him. Who knows what he'll do to his friends. You know, if the king has charges of espionage, who knows what the king's going to say about them. So, fine. They enter beyond the gates. They come into the waiting hall. And another two or three friends say, you know, we're so happy we were able to give you the support this far. We're really sorry. We really got to go now. And they leave. He's down to three friends. He's in the waiting hall. And the time comes for him to appear before his royal majesty. As he walks down the hall, he's walking from the waiting room to the palace, to the king himself. And two of his friends say, you know, best of luck, man. Yeah, knock him dead. And turn around and walk away. And he looks, and the one that's left standing with him is a guy who he never valued their friendship. He never really thought much of their relationship. And this guy is walking with him. And he sees the guy, and he sees the guy is walking straight and proud. And he's going to come with him all the way in. And he approaches the door, and he's waiting to see, is he going to turn around? The guy doesn't turn around. He's with him. And the guy says, I'm with you all the way. We're going to go in there, and we're going to present your case, and you're going to win. So they walk in, and the guy stands next to him, and the king starts letting him have it, and how dare you do this, and who do you think you are doing that? And the king presents his case against him, and he's standing there, and he's not sure what to say, and suddenly this guy, who he never thought much of their relationship, the guy stands up and says, Your Majesty, I want to say a few words on his behalf, and he starts presenting his case, and he's been such a faithful servant, and look at what he's done on your behalf, and look at all the years of faithful service, and Your Majesty, it would be criminal to ignore all the good history and all the good deeds this man has done, and he's really pleading his case on his behalf, and the guy walks out victorious. They walk out the door and he looks at him and he has a new appreciation for this buddy who he never thought much of their relationship. The Medrash says, what's this similar to? This is what's going to happen when judgment day comes. A guy is walking before the royal court up in heaven and he has all kinds of thoughts, all kinds of claims he'll make, all kinds of merits he has. And every merit will suddenly have a different angle which they'll say, you know, you didn't... This wasn't really up to par, and that wasn't up to par, and this wasn't the way it should have been, that wasn't the way it should have been. He'll suddenly discover that all these friends he was counting on are not what he thought they were. And then he's going to be about to enter the judgment of the heavenly court, and he'll look to his side, and he'll see a mitzvah he never thought too much about. That mitzvah of the small change he gives before davening. Here he gave a penny to charity. There he gave a nickel to charity. There he gave a dime to charity. The few shekels which he gave here and there have suddenly amassed to a huge amount. And suddenly when he's coming to be judged, those are amounts which he wasn't thinking too much about. He just gave them with, you know, let me help someone. And that merit will stand by him when he comes to judgment day. He'll be surprised to suddenly discover that mitzvah, which he didn't think too much about, the little charities that he gave here and there, that's going to be so potent when judgment day comes. So that's what the Medrash says. So I just want to balance what I said earlier about the importance of having savings and the importance of not being too free with your money, being careful. there's a balanced approach, meaning you have to know there is importance to giving charity, there is importance to helping the guy who you don't really know but seems to really need it. There's importance to that as well. It's not just about, let me calculate my tithe. We just have to realize that people tend to overdo it. The tendency is that people give too much to causes that they know nothing about, or they feel the change in their pocket is a nuisance, so they might as well put it in charity, and they don't realize that if they save it up the way they should, then that change could amass to a large amount. And it's not right for a person to give to unknown causes when he has children who need his help. We had a guy who used to donate here a lot of food to our learning. He'd donate cakes and cookies and milk. And in 1 week, I asked him, you know, you're giving a lot, and I assume you're not only giving me, you're probably giving other people too. So he said, yeah, my rabbi's been telling me I'm giving too much. It's much more than 20%. So I'm contemplating diminishing the amount I give. He said to me, but I can afford it. I asked him, how many apartments do you own? He said, one. I said, how many children do you have? He said, seven. I said, so you have seven kids, you're going to have to marry them off. You don't own another apartment? What happens when you need to help your kids? Don't you think instead of helping everyone else, you should be investing? Buy another apartment, buy another piece of property, put your money aside so that you'll be able to help your kids. Why should they need other people's help? If you're well off, so invest it wisely, and then you'll have other income that you'll be able to help your kids with. It's not so far off. His eldest then was about 13, 14. I said, figure in 5, 6 years, you're going to be marrying him off, or he'll be in the army. You'll want to help him a little bit more. That's an added expense. So you got to think of your kids also, not just other people's needs. So people sometimes don't think in that respect. They should. We have to think in that way too.